Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and while the Tea Party movement continues to garner much media attention for its anti-Washington sentiment from the right, one startup political party is attempting to tap into what it sees as another large, frustrated, and underrepresented electorate, the Angry Moderate. Founded by Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans, the Modern Whig Party, as it's called, is attempting to field candidates that are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. The organizers named their group after the Whig Party of the 19th century, with its ties to the founding fathers, William Henry Harrison, and at one time, Abraham Lincoln. When the party formed in early 2008, it predicted it would bring its first congressional bids this year, but the group has found it difficult gaining momentum and members. It has only two elected officials nationwide, both unpaid on the local level. And its only congressional candidate now is 59 points behind his incumbent opponent. Gene Chaz is the vice chair of the Northern Region of the Modern Whigs, and he joins me now. Welcome to WNYC.
And thank you for having us, Brian. I appreciate it.
And many of your members, including the founders, are veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, as I said. So how exactly did the Modern Whig Party come to be, and why call it that?
Well, I'm a Wall Street type, so I'm very hard-nosed about spinning things and reality of things. And I was a little taken aback at the Whig moniker until I myself dug into the history of why we wanted to call the party the Whigs. And there is very good reasoning for it, and it's certainly not a sort of a marketing ploy. And the reasoning is, starting back from beyond the 19th century, if we go back to England, you know, folks like Edmund Burke, and I guess Edmund Burke from the British experience and Henry Clay from the U.S. experience are probably the two statesmen that stick out as embodying fully in both their philosophy, personal philosophy and political philosophy, what we would consider Whig concepts. And those concepts, generally speaking, are anti-authoritarian. You know, Henry Clay, his Whig party, in our own experience here in America, favored Congress's power over the power of the president. So there is a logical reason to call us Whigs, because that is exactly our mindset. We feel that without pigeonholing ourselves into the left-right paradigm, which we've really don't like, and we really do think that it obfuscates policy and causes us to view, as citizens, by the way, view policy decisions that have been framed for us by the people in power. And sometimes the solutions, the truth, isn't left or right at all. The truth lies somewhere in the center.
Well, if you're fiscally conservative and socially liberal as a party, it sounds a lot like the Libertarian Party.
Yes, but as you might know or not know, many libertarians favor abolishing government of all type, and we're not that way at all. We believe in effective government.
So you're less small government than the libertarians.
Say that again, so we'll be
clear on that. You are not as small government as the libertarians.
No, let me bring the point of government and the issue of governance to the fore here. A modern Whig doesn't believe in big or small government. We believe in effective government that is managed by the people. And that's really the disconnect we're facing here in the 21st century is government has gone beyond being responsive to the people in many, many ways. And we feel that, and this is what the folks sitting in the foxholes, actually, they were tents, but the folks sitting in Iraq looking back and watching CNN, this is what they witnessed. What they really witnessed in its simplest form was, look at the debate they're having on whatever issue it may be, Brian, pick one, healthcare, let's say. Look at the debate they're having on healthcare. They're missing the point completely. The left is arguing one point. The right is arguing one point. They're framing it as a free choice versus universal coverage debate when that skirts the core issues of the debate. So what the veterans, now veterans, then currently active duty military, realized was that the public wasn't getting engaged in a proper debate about many things.
So do you take positions on some of the things that are, you know, the issues before the country right now that that are front and center in the midterm elections, like the health care bill or the Bush tax cuts?
Well, and this is why you mentioned earlier, and in the recent Wall Street Journal article, very accurately portrayed us as growing very slowly. And part of the reason is we are bringing sort of a brand new paradigm or way of looking at the world to the American citizen. And it's really hard for most of us who've been trained in this sort of bipolar, bipartisan system for the last 150 years to break out of that mold and look at things without casting them in left and right. So, you know, the one thing we'll tell you, and this is sort of the zen of a modern Whig, is a sense of detachment and, you know, sort of a impartial observation of what the problem is. So that process, you know, if you think about that for a second, Gene Chaz, who's the acting, and I mean acting, your state chairman, because this is a volunteer position, and frankly, a real chairman would be a full-time position. I understand that.
And to be clear, that's you, Gene Chaz.
That's me, yes, exactly. Gene is not going to tell you, Brian, or your listeners, how to feel about an issue. What we want to do as Modern Whigs is provide you and the listeners and all citizens of our country tools, information, ways of engaging themselves back into the political system. You know, as a political science would say, we want to make it rational for citizens to participate in the system again.
But wait, that's what we do. It sounds like you more want to be a media organization than a political party that takes...
Well, we hesitate in calling ourselves a political party because when that's said, like many terms in our current lexicon of politics, if I say progressive, all the listeners and you frame that a certain way. You know, you've been taught over the last 10 years that progressive means something this. Mm-hmm. I may not mean that when I say progressive.
That's fine. But let's take taxes as an issue. Do you come to conclusions about what kind of a tax system or tax rates we should have?
Well, we have researched on the national level the fair tax, and I was tasked with that research. And as a chartered financial analyst, I came back with a very simple analysis saying, hey, this is an interesting idea.
So that's like, so people know what we're talking about, that's like the value-added tax or the national sales tax, correct?
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So I was tasked with that research because I had the expertise really in balance sheets. But
where'd you come down on that?
Well, the takeaway from that was very simple. It's an interesting idea, but we are nowhere, either in New York State or in Washington, near any kind of financial position to experiment with something that might work very, very well. And that's the problem. Our leaders, it's like the term I use often is I think that people are waking up and realizing the emperors literally have no clothes. That is to say, right now, fiscal problems are causing a lot of other political problems to come to the fore. And I think the population is waking up to the fact that their representation has not been doing their job. And there's lots of reasons for that.
So I'm just trying to figure out what your clothes are. Were you for the fair tax or against it?
Can't use it.
Can't
That's
use
simple,
it.
That's simple. A simple answer. We can't use it. Why? Because the deficit spending, both in New York and in Washington, doesn't allow me as a financial person to experiment. It's something I'd love to try, mm-hmm. but we have to try it from a position of fiscal strength, having a surplus on the books.
Let's do one more before we run out of time. How about health care, which kind of gave rise to the Tea Party movement, the reaction to the Obama health care bill? That's now the law of the land, obviously a big issue. Is there a Whig approach to that, if not a specific
policy
agenda?
Well, and I think this
agenda.
One, Brian, will probably give your listeners a clue as to how we're thinking. The healthcare debate, and we sat around a Cub Scout fire talking with the parents about this, so we do take it down to the grassroots literally, but the healthcare debate was framed as free choice versus universal care. Yet when I asked common American citizens, you know, educated, non-educated, just a good sampling of people, you know, what the issues were. We talked about costs. We talked about legislation concerning tort reform and all that. We never, ever, in a 20-minute discussion, talked about free choice or universal care. Yet, the citizens were you know, the debate was framed for us as citizens as it's either this or this. It's not that at all. If you run a business, that's not how you do it. You identify the problems, you identify solutions, and you make a fix. You know, so understand that what we're trying to bring to the discussion is a realization, an awakening that the bipartisan system that we've had in place for much too long mm-hmm. is causing bad public policy because citizens are not properly engaging their intellect in the debates because they're being framed for us by people in power. That's not right. And people in power should not tell us how to live our lives. We should tell them what we would like. And that's a huge sort of logical, you know, change that's occurred over the last century that really shouldn't be there.
But presumably,
so what's the problem, sir? Citizens are not empowered. They are not. It's not rational to participate. Oh, no matter who I vote for, it's all the same stuff. Mm-hmm. True, true, true. And we're trying to design methods, tools to help citizens make those choices.
If people want
better informed.
If people want to learn more, how can they find out more?
Well, I'd recommend you stop on two websites, of course, nywig.org and modernwig.org, our national website, and you'll see a little bit more of what we're about. This is definitely a fresh approach to politics. It's very much a back-to-the-future approach to politics, where in New York we're stressing ethics, simply ethics, because we think from that all else good will flow, just like all else bad flows from bad ethics today.
That's Wig with an H. ModernWig.org, NewYorkWig.org, correct?
Yes, sir.
Gene Chaz is the vice chair of the Northern Region of the Modern Whigs, new political party and movement. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you for your time, sir.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And remember, we are talking politics every day at this time through the New York primary. And during the fall election season, we'll be doing a few projects that could use your help and investigative chops. If you want to be a part of the action on our Election 2010 crowdsourcing team, just go to our show page and give us your email address, and we'll be back in touch soon with more information. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up next, and I'm sure you're ready for this by now, with the Emmys handed out last night, we want to know what you think is worth watching that our other listeners might not know about. Give me a call. And shout out to your favorite but least known television show that's currently on the air, 212-433-WNYC. The Emmys, according to you, 212-433-9692. What's worth watching that other people might not know about? Your call's on that in a minute.